Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. So glad you can join us as we now make our way towards playoff game number one, Stars Avs. And of course, we want to talk about that, kind of recap last night with one of our favorite guests. He's a regular contributor to Spits and Suds, does an amazing job with starsthoughts.com, also contributes to D Magazine. I encourage everyone to subscribe to starsthoughts.com, and thanks to all of you who have. Robert Tiffin joins us. How are you, my friend?
Doing good, Gavin, doing good. It's the thick of the hockey season. Playoffs are about to start. Was just on the road a couple different times over the past few weeks, for Stars games, and was actually just down in Frisco this morning watching the Team USA's under-18 team practice with a couple of other. Team Germany was there too in the stands kind of watching. I think I saw Team Slovakia hanging around too, and then Team Switzerland hopped on the ice right after, so there's hockey going on all over the place. So
really,
it's always
is
good when that's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're covering juniors, and then last week you did both the Texas Stars and the Dallas Stars. What was your Texas Stars? What was that like?
Yeah, that was really cool. I've got down to Cedar Park earlier this season once. Was going to get down there twice, but just once so far, and then got to see the Texas Stars in Grand Rapids last Saturday against the Griffins, who's a team they very well might play in the first round of the playoffs, actually. And that was a really good game. Got to see a couple of the new college signings in the Stars organization play for them. Wrote about that a little bit on Stars Thoughts. Trey Taylor, got to chat with him. Actually, Sean and I both got to chat with him after the game. And it was really cool just to hear about his kind of where he's at and what he's excited about, why he chose to join the organization and all those sorts of things. So really, really good stuff. It was really fun. By far the most lasting impression from that game, though, was the hot dog cannon that the Grand Rapids Griffins have. The mascot,
yes,
who's a griffin, like a big eagle head.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's every bit as awesome as you think. He comes on at intermission, and it's this giant, like, bazooka looking thing. And you know, someone skates over and loads up these like foil wrapped hot dogs into the cannon, and then he tilts back and kind of menacingly aims it in different directions, and then boom, fires like 3 or 4 of those bad boys at a time. And they are, I mean, you need to be looking alive. They do not, it's not this nice gentle arc where they come up and slowly come down. Those things are end over end, pop, 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 pop. Like they, if people in the press box were saying they've gotten their laptops knocked over and broken by one of those hot dogs. And this is the top of the, and it's a big arena too. It's really big. I think it holds 7,000 some odd people.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
So that was by far the most lasting impression. But AHL hockey is good hockey. I like it.
Really good. Really good. Yeah. You know, you ask AHL players and they just say the biggest difference, not necessarily, I mean, obviously the speed might be up a notch in the NHL, but it's just consistency. That is what defines you either as an AHL player or an NHL player. Sidebar note, our own, we had him on Spits and Suds, Cross Hannes. He's from, born in Dallas, lives in Louisville. He plays for the Grand Rapids Griffiths, having actually a pretty good season. So nice little Texas tile up in, having some hot dogs up in Grand Rapids. Let's just say that. Okay, so when you watched last night's game, I love the article where you said, go through Spits and Suds. Some you'll like, some you may not. There might be some Stars fans that did not like last night's episode. I didn't necessarily tee off at them, but there has been some frustrations, and I've tried to keep it on. And now I'm to the point, Robert, where watching last night's game, the defensive lapses were just, they were really frustrating as far as the high quality chances and where those high quality chances were without a defenseman around or a defensive forward.
Yeah. And that came through pretty clearly on your podcast last night, right?
Apologies.
Off the hop. You're coming
apologies.
In hot. And to be fair, I mean, I think you're more or less matching the mood of the fan base overall right now. I mean, dropping seven straight to the end of the season is a huge bummer of a way to go into the playoffs, no matter how good you are, no matter how healthy you are. That is you can't end on much more of a sour note than that. Couple that with Robertson getting hurt. Man, it was a tough watch. The 2 points from that game, I guess you could point to as slight positives. Number one, of course, Tyler Seguin coming back, looking good. I thought they'd ease him in a little bit more, and maybe partly because Robertson got hurt and partly just because Seguin felt good and looked good. He played, over 14 minutes, I think, almost 15, which didn't really seem like he was taking it easy too much. Took a couple hits and everything like that. So that's a big positive. You know, you want to see Seguin back, and it looks like he's ready to hop back in. And, you know, again, we'll see how he is in game one. But, you know, the playoff schedule is pretty brutal, so every player is going to be tested. But it was good to see Seguin back. The other thing I'll say, and I don't say this to make excuses or anything like that, because – the Stars have been hemorrhaging goals lately. It's been bad. But the one thing you can say is that most of those goals, four of the five goals were 5-on-5, and three of those goals were with Sam Steele on the ice. Not that he was necessarily the one at fault, but that tells you this is mostly them taking advantage of, you know, bottom six, bottom line forwards, bottom pair. Again, those are players that are playing in the playoffs, most of them, except, you know, Brendan Smith probably isn't going to be starting the top six for the blue line. But it's not like every line is playing badly, but it's also not like the other lines were scoring or anything either, which the Stars team needs to. So pretty understandable to be frustrated after last game, even if there are maybe some little shreds of hope you can cling to.
So I was talking about this today because a couple of people were talking about the goaltending situation, and I love me some Jake Oettinger. And I think he needs to be elite in this playoffs with the situation involving Miro Heiskanen, with the defensive issues they're having. I think Jake has to be better than what Jake has been, and he's been a really good goalie this year. But I thought of a comparison, and I wanted to throw this out there, because Connor Hellebuck on his way to his second straight Vezina, and the defense in front of him is statistically the best in the league. And I think of like a football offensive line. Let's take the Cowboys, for example. If Dak Prescott is continually under pressure and running for his life, there will be a point where the fan base will say, well, I understand, and hopefully Dak can make plays, but they have to improve the offensive line. And I thought about that in a hockey sense, because I had four of the five goals last night as ones that, I guess maybe Jake Oettinger could have stopped a couple, but it wasn't the one where, you know, the puck came to him and he kind of, you know, screwed up the puck handling. I put on Jake Oettinger. But other than that, I just thought they were high quality chances. What do you think of my comparison as far as this defense needs to be better in front of the goalies?
Yeah, I get ripped every time I say that Jake Oettinger wasn't to blame for, you know, a 2-on-1 backdoor goal or something like that. So I'm pretty immune to it by now, but I completely agree. It was a huge, huge defensive breakdown on just about all those goals. And even the first goal, it's a deflection that goes against the grain and slips in just perfectly in the post. I mean, Oettinger is squaring up for where the shot's coming from, and then it ticks off Bork and goes exactly the other direction. The other goals, all of them that I can remember, were someone alone either in front of the net or in the back door. There's multiple two-on-one situations. These aren't shots where it's a shooter versus a goalie and the shooter shot is better than the goalie's save.
Right.
There are situations where this is always my test for Stars fans when they start to get frustrated about goaltending or think, oh man, should have stopped that. Okay, switch the teams. If your shooter was the one shooting, would you be annoyed at him if he didn't score? And in all of those, I think you would say absolutely yes. You should score on every single one of those chances. Again, the first goal, bit of a fluke. But those other ones, I mean, come on. You cannot give up those chances. Marchment was furious with himself for losing coverage.
Yeah,
on,
I mentioned that snapping his stick.
And he owned it after the game, too, in the post-game interview. He absolutely said one of those was on me.
I love that.
Which is good. The only thing is, they've been owning it for quite a while now, and the coach owned it even before the 7-game losing streak started, or winless streak, technically. So, you know, what are you going to do at this point? What are you going to do? Either they've got this extra level, and they're just waiting to go to it because they've been kind of in playoff mode. And, you know, we talked about it before the season, right? We said, look, they got the top seed in the West last year. It didn't really help them that much with the gauntlet they had to go through. So, I don't know. Part of me still wonders if they've just been kind of saying, you know what, we'll get through the season. We've done enough. We got to 50 wins, and we're not going to kill ourselves to make a statement down the stretch. And, you know, they rested players, so it seems like they were all on the same page. So, again, it'd be one thing if they went like 3-4 down the stretch. It just really stinks that they lost every single game in the last 7.
Yeah.
That's hard to swallow.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. All right, before we get to start talking about this Avalanche Stars series, if you're listening to this, you have an opportunity to go to Game 1, courtesy of robertandstarsthoughts.com. You were contacted by a subscriber, and they wanted to do something really cool. They have seats in Section 105, and the concept is donate $20 or more to your favorite charity, send you the receipt, and you, in turn, will put them in a drawing to win those tickets. That's a really cool thing, man. That's really, really cool. How's the response been?
It's been great. It's been great. It's been up for, about a day, I think, so far. And we're already well over $1,000 donated.
Wow, great. Good for you.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, just talking to the reader, he wanted to do something. He had these. He just always kind of looks for ways to be generous and wanted to partner on this one. So it's worked out really well to, you know, rather than just limiting it to one specific cause. That, you know, there are a couple that I particularly like and everything, but it just seemed like this was the best opportunity to kind of open it up to people. And frankly, one of the coolest things has been seeing the different organizations people have donated to. There's a lot of them out there that I hadn't even heard of, and then I looked into them a little bit after seeing the donation, and it's been really cool. So
nice.
If we get the chance to do something like this again, I might have to put together a list of some of these, and just because there's a lot of folks who are saying, yeah, I'd love to donate. Do you have any, you know, good ones or whatever?
Yeah.
So that's been really cool to see.
That's awesome. Well, we are going to try our best to repay our favor. We, on 4 of our stations, have a community fairs program called Better Living, and we look for DFW community charities. So those that you listed, you and I can talk, and we'll get contacts, and we'll have them on for a 30-minute interview and hopefully give them more publicity. So
stick tap
to you, my friend. All right, let's get into this. Let's get into this series. And I just don't, flipping the switch is so fascinating. Like Saturday night, I'm just fascinated. I'm excited, but I'm also fascinated. And I guess my first question is I get that you can turn it on for the playoffs and that can happen. However, open forwards against Detroit, open forwards against Nashville. What are your thoughts on how they are going to cover Nathan MacKinnon without Miro Heiskanen?
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah,
doing any defense when you don't have Miro Heiskanen and you're used to having Miro Heiskanen is a tall order in the best of times. The good news is Esa Lindell is really good.
Yeah,
really good defensively. He's just about the best defensive defender you could really ask for in a lot of ways. The problem is his, you know, Heiskanen's mobility is this extra asset that allows him to kind of keep up with players like like McDavid or McKinnon usually in the best of times. But really, I think this series, like so many playoff series, is going to be decided by getting your best players out against the other team's bottom six and bottom defense pairings. So as much as we can talk about how, oh, we wish we had, you know, we wish we could see Haskinen out there for 27, 28 minutes a night, really, they'd still be looking to take advantage of those higher leverage opportunities, like when the third pairing is out there, whatever that third pairing is. So I still kind of think that's what will happen. That's why, you know, power plays so often can decide a series too, like we saw in Edmonton last year. As much as it's about strength on strength, the best players in playoffs usually tend to kind of exchange punches throughout a series, whereas taking advantage of those weaknesses are, and that's really what coaches are doing, right? When they're strategizing and they're game planning, they're looking for how do we exploit this particular thing they do or this thing they can't do as well, and how do we exploit these players that have more well-known weaknesses. So yeah, McKinnon is, I mean, who's better than him right now?
Yeah.
It's going to be tough no matter what, but then again, you know, the Stars score a lot of goals too. So if they have to win by scoring, you know, 7 goals a night, hey, they scored more goals than Colorado this year. They prevented more goals than Colorado this year. They had a better penalty kill than Colorado this year. There's a lot of things that give you little reason for hope, even if Haskinen's absence is a huge blow to that.
Yeah. As of right now, the power play unit, which is ninth in the league, Colorado meaning, Nichushkin, Natchez, Drouin, McKinnon, Makar. That's their five, which is pretty formidable. They are going against Dallas, finished fifth, but for most of the year, Robert, they were up, you know, top two. They were absolutely tremendous. But I think that goes back to a problem that Dallas has had, when we could possibly relate this to Miro Haskinen, league leading as far as shorthanded minutes on the ice, which means you're spending a lot of time in the penalty box, which is kind of a shame because at the beginning of the year, they were one of the best as far as staying out of the box.
Yeah, it really does. I don't know that you've ever seen a team be so starkly two different versions of itself as we've seen with the Stars this year. It's, you know, if their grand plan is to lull the Avs into a false sense of security, they're doing a great job. You have to give them credit for that.
Sure.
You could not lull them any more than they've been lulling them. This is the lullingest last couple of months of the season you ever could have asked for. Dallas, great at goal prevention. Historically, they've been a top 10, you know, defensive team in a lot of ways for the last past couple of years or more or less. And then this year in the second half, they just completely have fallen apart without Haskinen. And yeah, it's, you can point to a lot of reasons for that. I think the defensive depth, you know, Matt Dumba hasn't worked out where they've wanted him to. And underneath that, they just haven't really had enough. It's been a top three and a bottom three for the Stars. And lately it's been a top two and a bottom four in a lot of ways. And that over time, especially with some of the other struggles, has really just started to wear on them. And well, we'll see. Yeah. You never know, right? Again, if they're saving something, and if you can't wake up for game one, and if the Stars, after losing 7 straight game ones, if they can't wake up for this game one, then they're probably...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Probably never going to.
Yeah, and some new names up the middle acquired by Colorado at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
They were struggling. They've really struggled at that center position as far as second center and third center since Kadri left. And they tried Casey Mittelstadt, ended up trading him. Now they acquired Brock Nelson from the Islanders, a name that a lot of Stars fans were interested in, and also Charlie Coyle from the Boston Bruins. So some vet signings as far as up the middle heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, the way I think about Matt Duchene, I think I read this in a preview somewhere too, but the way I think of Brock Nelson and Matt Duchene are kind of similar. I mean, I think Duchene's having a better season by far, but when you're looking at a playoff series, Nelson is kind of Matt Duchene with the stats balanced out a little bit. Duchene, incredible at creating offense on the rush, transition, and things like that. He's been fantastic for Dallas all year. Whereas his defense, he gives up a little bit on defense. He just does. That's not his game. He's not a lockdown center, and that's okay. He still creates a lot more than he allows. Whereas Nelson is a little bit more contained, kind of on both sides. He's a little bit more of an even keel player. So the good news for Dallas is in that situation, if you're looking at your second line centers, Duchene probably more likely able to score a really critical goal or create one in crunch time if you need him to than Nelson, who kind of tends to pile up 30 goals every year one way or another, but isn't necessarily a player who's going to come in and just wow you by beating your best players and scoring. Although certainly, you know, he can, but anyone who watched at Four Nations saw that Nelson isn't necessarily the sort of player who pops in that sort of game when you're playing against tough competition, like Four Nations mostly was. So I think when you go down the middle, Coyle, you know, against Wyatt Johnson, I'll take Wyatt Johnson every time.
Yeah,
so Coyle has some name brand value, but Wyatt Johnson is, I mean, he's not really a third line center anyway, when you look at the minutes and everything too. We talk about this all the time, but the Stars center depth, I think the thing is Colorado, by far, they have maybe the best center in hockey, or one of, you know, depending on how you feel about McDavid right now or anyone else. But after that, I think the Stars have second and third center covered. And I think Jack Drury is playing center on the fourth line for Colorado. And he's a guy. I think they got him did they get him in the Rantanen trade, I think, from Carolina? And he's a guy.
Yes.
It's fine. He's fourth line.
Yeah.
Stars have Sam Steele, who, you know, you're probably going to like one of those more depending on which team you root for.
Yeah.
But overall, the Stars have more depth. And I think this is true of their forward core as a whole. They have more depth. I mean, you look at the other players that Colorado has that you're going to get annoyed at seeing. Martin Natchez is going to score a goal and you'll be really annoyed. And they'll talk about him scoring and has Rantanen scored yet or whatever, right? That's going to be the big narrative the whole time. Can Rantanen score against his old team? And of course, Val Nichushkin and you know, everything that goes along with that, if he can actually play a whole series,
right,
which he hasn't been able to do lately.
Right. Yeah. And one of the ones that that you might be about to mention is Joel Kiviranta. And what's interesting about that is that we all know how, I mean, we'll call him a Stars one playoff game legend for what he did against the Colorado Avalanche to send them to the next round. So Kiviranta was absolutely huge for Dallas. But what a lot of people might not realize, he had a career year for the Avalanche.
Yep. Yeah, he's been really good, and he was out for a little bit, and they missed him when he was out for a little bit during the year. He was one of those players where they just felt like, oh man, we just need to get this guy back in our lineup.
Almost 20 goals.
We just don't look right in our bottom six without him. Yeah, yeah. So to him, an analog I might think of, they're different players, but you know, Evgeny Dadonov, who also hit 20 for the Stars this year, right? He's that player in your bottom six who could easily score a couple sneaky big playoff goals. That's just the player Dadonov is. He's not, you know, as well-rounded a player as some other guys in your bottom six, maybe, but he's one of those guys that you just never know. I mean, everyone remembers 2 years ago, right after they got him at the deadline, Dadonov was big in the playoffs with Johnson and Ben when he was healthy. So there's, again, you look at the depth overall, Avalanche have the top guy by far, and then I think the rest of the top nine, the Stars have the edge overall. I mean, Rantanen is, you know, he and Natchez are both good players, but I'd take Rantanen over Natchez every time.
Yeah, I would, yep.
And twice on Sundays.
Yep.
So, but again, it's not just about, you know, talent on paper. You're not asking how they're going to project over 82 games. You're asking specifically how they're going to play against this team and what this team does. And that's where it gets really interesting, right? Because as we saw against Vegas, you can be the 8th seed, 1 seed, you can be whatever seed it is. And at the end of the day, you know, it's all about beating that team in that game, however you can do it. And if the Stars do that because Jake Oettinger goes off, great. If they do it by scoring 8 goals, great. They really won't care.
Another player that I wanted to talk about that I want Spits and Suds listeners to look for, because everyone's going to notice Cale Makar on the ice, and the attention doesn't necessarily shift to his defensive teammate, Devin Toews, acquired from the Islanders a few years back, signed a long-term contract with Colorado. They're not easy to come by. If I had my Stars wish list in an offseason, I'd want to get a Devin Toews just to, quote-unquote, free up Miro. We've heard that in Star circles. Free Miro or free Harley. In other words, he's the defenseman that allows Cale Makar to fly around the ice like he does because he's so sound defensively, a bigger guy, and just is going to be, you know, one of those guys that just is solid game in and game out.
Yeah, there's a little bit of Sidor Zubov similarities
in their
dynamic. Both of them can chip in, you know, Makar is incredible, elite offensively as a defenseman, one of the best ever, I'd say, even now, obviously. But Toews is no slouch either. He can chip in some goals, too. After that, though, you look at their bottom four is not actually much better than the Stars' bottom four, even without Heiskanen. So, Devon Toews is one. Probably going to score some sneaky, annoying goal at some point. He'll say, oh man,
Manson's going to be physical.
Yes. He's definitely can hold down that end of the thing. And you know, to Makar's credit too, he plays tough too, even though he's not the biggest guy.
He can
lay a big hit too here and there. You got to watch out for him. I mean, he's a player, right? There's a reason he's got Norris Trophy on his mantle.
Yeah.
But really what it's going to be like, the other kind of old school, well, not really old school, but, the 20 years ago comparison that I think of is Anaheim when they had Scott Niedermeyer and Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
And it seemed like you'd play them and one or both of those players was on the ice every single shift. It just seemed like you never really got away from him. And I think this series is going to be like that, where it feels like Makar or MacKinnon is out there every other shift. And they probably will be. I mean, they play a ton of minutes. You know, MacKinnon plays 23, 24 minutes a night as a forward, which is insane. And I think Makar is going to be playing 28, 29 minutes as well. So it's going to be frustrating. Again, that's why it's going to be critical for the Stars to be able to score against the other parts of their lineup. Because if you can't break through against their bottom nine or their bottom four, it's really tough to win a matchup against two of the best players in the NHL.
Your example of Zubov and Sidor was better than my throwback of Mattias Nordström. You remember him?
That was good.
Yeah, former LA King.
Got him with the, they got him from LA, right?
I loved him.
Yeah, Yeah, he was great. He's a great player.
Really was a great player. All right, so since you're around the team so often, I thought it was interesting that the door was kind of reopened, not to get everyone too excited, but that possibly, I think we all assumed that Miro would be gone for this first series. But, you know, from what we heard the other day, per Sean Shapiro, maybe that door is cracking open as far as a late series return.
Yeah, I mean, Sean and I both saw Jim Nillen when we were in there in Detroit too. And I've talked to people about this. Everyone's heard kind of the reports. And really what it comes down to is this. The only thing the Stars are confirming is that Heiskanen is not going to play on Saturday in game one. After that, they've still been adamant. Jim Nill has been adamant in every interview he's given since ESPN reported that the Stars didn't expect Heiskanen to play. Jim Nill has been adamant that, no, that's not quite right. We are only saying he's not available in game one. After that, we hope he can return at some point. When will that point be? I don't know. He's not practicing with the team yet. DeBoer said they're talking about how to integrate him back into those practices and everything, which is a good sign. But again, until we see him actually practicing with the team, it's hard to say that he's anywhere close. And again, this series, even if it goes the distance, it's only going to be about two and a half weeks, I think, with the schedule coming out today. So we'll see. The Stars want him back. I wouldn't write him off for the series at all. I think it's still, I believe them when they say he might come back. I think they would be really honest and say, if there's no way he was going to be back at all in the first round, I don't see much advantage in sort of prolonging that hope and adding that distraction. I think it's possible, but also I think it's, you know, if he's not back in game one and they know that for sure, it's probably because he's not particularly close at this moment. But again, all depends on him and his knee. And as we've seen before with players in the playoffs, players want to be back. Right? Yeah. That's what they care about the most. So I think if Heiskanen can be at even 75% and there's not a serious injury, you know, risk of severe injury, then he'll find a way to be back for that because he's just too important and he'll want to be back there too much. But we'll see. We'll see. It'll be game by game after game one. I really believe that.
And you'll see lines tomorrow at practice, but any thoughts on what fourth line they'll roll out?
Yeah, I guess we should probably talk about Jason Robertson here too, because boy, you know, it's funny because Tyler Seguin just came back, and that's been a great story. The Avs look like they're going to get Gabriel Landeskog back for the playoffs, which is a fantastic story. I mean, good for him. He's battled back for years now just to get back into the league after playing his last game when they won the cup 3 years ago. So good for Landeskog if it looks by all accounts like he's going to be back in the lineup.
I hate the emotional lift that gives the Avalanche. I mean they,
it's going to be a boost.
He is so beloved there. His teammates absolutely love him. His teammates were watching. I mean, he is just, I mean, heck, Mikko Rantanen said he was watching. You know, I mean, that's how important Gabriel Landeskog is to his teammates.
It really is. And that's where the Stars should be really grateful, I think, that they have home ice advantage, that they don't start the series in Colorado with all of that chaos and all of that exuberance and just unhinged jubilation going off in game one, right? They have a chance to, at the very least, split the first two games. But you really, really, I think it's never been more critical that the Stars win both of the first two games, because we all know how tough it is to play in Colorado. We all know how crazy it's going to be in game three when Landeskog plays in front of home fans for the first time since that Stanley Cup run. So the Stars will need to get off to a pretty good game one start. And that's going to be even tougher depending on Jason Robertson, who obviously, you know, as you talked about after the game last night, took some kind of what looked like a knee injury with that hip check from Michael McCarron. We'll see. Supposedly, Robertson was, I think a national reporter said that he was walking with a brace after the game. So that's not great. But again, knees are weird things in hockey. Skating is a different thing than walking or running. So I'm always hesitant to really make any firm pronouncements about knee injuries until we really know what it is. Because braces in hockey, because of the gear you wear, you can stabilize the knee in a lot of different ways with your hockey gear on that you can't in, you know, say a sport like soccer or something like that. So that's not me saying anything anyone doesn't know. We're all working with the same information until tomorrow when we hear from the Stars. But wait, you asked about lines, though. We should probably talk about that.
That brings up my curiosity of, do you move Wyatt Johnston up to the first line, which you did at times and put him with Hintz and put him with Rantanen and Sagan back. He can certainly, you know, fill partly that role, you know, on the lower lines. But the fourth line as well, I'm interested. Do you go with Beck? Do you go with Blackwell? It's going to be because you do have size on this Avalanche roster, which would signal Beck. But I think Colin Blackwell is playing really well lately, too. I mean, they're limited minutes, but I mean, we've seen that, you know, on the penalty kill, Colin Blackwell's been really good, too. So you know, it's definitely a choice. I think both will get in the lineup in this series.
Yeah, I think that's pretty likely, unless the Stars win four games in a row and don't see a need to change the lineup. But yeah, I think that's pretty likely. So here's what I'm going to say. That's a terrible preface. What I'm saying is this: the Stars last night before game 82, DeBoer would kind of said after game 81 in Detroit, he kind of said, okay, yeah, we rested guys and blah, blah, blah. We lost another game. But we're going to bring Harley and Lindell back in for game 82. We're trying to finish the season with a win. And then of course we know Sagan came back in. So to me, game 82 is pretty close to a game one of the playoffs lineup as you're likely to see with Haskinen out. And what we saw in game 82, Beck and Blackwell were scratched. And we saw Rantanen on the third line with Ben and Johnston. I think Dadonov is an interesting question because on the fourth line, I don't know that Dadonov's at his best on the fourth line. He can still score the odd goal from there, yep. But Dadonov has enough talent and skill, even as the oldest forward on the team, to score. I mean, that's why we've seen him play in the top line and on the second line at times, because he can do that. He can keep up with those players. He's creative enough to do it. But I think the odds are, if I'm a betting man, we'll see the same, you know, if Robertson is back in the lineup, I suspect we'd see the same lineup we saw against Nashville in game one against Colorado. If Robertson's not, then I would expect Beck to be in as well and Blackwell still to be out. That's where I'm at.
Where are you as far as the Colorado goaltenders, Mackenzie Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood? Do you think we'll see a rotation? And flip side, if the Stars go down, will we see Casey DeSmith get a game?
I don't think Casey DeSmith starts a game in the playoffs unless Ottinger is dealing with some, you know, an injury or something like that. I just don't think so. If I'm wrong, then it's because things have gone very, very badly for the Stars. But Ottinger's ceiling is just too high. DeSmith has looked really good for stretches this year, but there's no doubt who the Stars' best goalie is and which goalie gives. I mean, you know, DeSmith is under no illusions about this either, to his credit. Again, he's been fantastic. He's in some ways had a career year, but there's no reason to start any kind of goalie controversy for Dallas. Ottinger's been really good this year too. He's, you know, not, I wouldn't say he's been one of the top five goalies in the league or anything like that, but around 10th in the league, I would say. Most of the stats I looked at a couple days ago had Ottinger in that range. And again, that's with the defense just turning into a pumpkin for the last 30 games of the season and giving up chances like nobody's business. So I think Ottinger, they're gonna live and die with Jake Ottinger, and honestly, I think most teams would love to be in that same situation. Ottinger's a great young franchise goalie, and as much as you might get frustrated at him not being perfect, that's the case with every goalie not named Connor Hellebuck, and even last year in the playoffs, that was the case with Connor Hellebuck too. So, I think Ottinger for sure, and I think I think the lineup will be mostly static. Again, you might see Beck come in here and there, or Blackwell come in here and there if they want a little bit more speed or whatever. Again, Colorado is also a really quick team, so could see Blackwell come in at times too. But I think overall what we've seen from DeBoer is that Blackwell has tended to be the furthest on that edge of people in the bubble, and then Beck has been the next player on that bubble. And I don't think that's changed in the last few games. So
the fiery Ralph Strangis on Spits and Suds the other day told me to toughen up regarding NHL start times. So the amount of games that you go to on national, and trust me, you can throw out tons of Stars issues, but this is I'm telling you, this is like a top three issue with Stars fans as far as the start times. People want, if the puck drop, just put it closer to the actual start of the game. The Stars announced that it's going to be a 7:30 puck drop. Well, we all know that puck drop's probably going to be around 8.
Yeah, and games 2 through 4 are all going to be an 8:30 local start time too, which is going to be closer to 9. But really, this isn't consolation, but the reason for this is that, you know, you live in the central time zone.
Yeah.
And that central time zone, for better or worse, just always kind of gets the shaft when it comes to playoff start times. Hey, if there's any, if it makes you feel any better, Minnesota has a game against Vegas that's not starting until it's scheduled for 10 p.m. Minnesota time.
Oh.
So that will really be like 10:20. Minnesota time when that puck drops in Vegas, which is, you know, again, not trying to like say it's all fine and dandy, but it was actually worse for the Stars last year in the first round against Vegas when they had some 9 and 9:30 p.m. start times scheduled, which, as we know, you know, went 20 minutes later than that. So this year, at least through the first four games, the worst they're going to have is an 8:30 scheduled start time, which will be 8:50. It's not great. None of us like it. Certainly, I don't think the players love it either. It means another hour and a half of just kind of sitting around waiting for the game to start in a game day. But it could be slightly worse because it was last year.
Right.
How's that for some consolation?
There was a game toward the end of the season. I was talking to Joe O'Donnell, the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Wild. And I'm listening to the game, Robert, and I thought the game was in Seattle. They dropped the puck for a regular season game, 9 p.m. in Minnesota. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's wild. I guess Dallas fans can be grateful they haven't had to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe I do have to. I tried to explain to Ralph that I have a day job, but he just didn't want to listen. So that's Ralph Strangest for you. But it's a fiery episode. If you want to, if anyone wants to go back, Ralph certainly lets it fly regarding his thoughts on the Stars. I just kind of kicked back. I think I got 22 words in for the whole podcast, so that was a that was a interesting one. But Ralph,
I'm sure they were 22 great words, guys.
No, I don't know about that. All right, before we let you go, what do you have coming up on StarsThoughts.com or your other platforms that we can look forward to?
Yeah. On later today, Thursday, I'll have a piece up kind of talking about how on earth a fan is supposed to stomach watching this series, given the vibes around the team right
Love
now.
That.
So that'll be a piece up for subscribers in StarsThoughts.com. And then during the playoffs, actually, I am going to be doing David Castillo and I are going to be doing a post game thing on D Magazine right after the game.
No way.
Every game in the playoffs, we'll be doing a little. I think David did it last year with Sean, and we'll be doing so David and I this year.
It's like a virtual chat with people.
It'll be kind of each of us will kind of give a short take on the game that we just saw from different angles. So
very nice.
Yeah, it should be really good. Hopefully I'm not stealing David's thunder by announcing that, but it's 2 days away. So that'll be some great stuff right after the fact. Man. And then, of course, I'll have stuff post-game coverage up on my side on Stars Thoughts as well. But look for that piece later today. You have 1 day left to Friday at 5 p.m. is when I'll close entries for the ticket giveaway to win those 2 tickets, 3 rows up from the glass. It's been great so far. So, if nothing else, at least people are doing a bunch of good in the community or for some worthy causes in the meantime, no matter what good or bad the Stars are doing on the ice.
And you won't say it, but as I said on X/Twitter the other day, you're an independent reporter giving us amazing Stars information, going on road trips, putting all your effort into this, and we truly appreciate it. And we can support by subscribing to your Substack, which has all your information. You're an excellent writer, starsthoughts.com. I laugh a lot during your articles. So, for what it's worth, I do. Your humor is very
good. That's
good.
Either at me or with me, I'll take it.
No.
It's an entertainment business, and you know, I think there's a lot of people out there and a lot of places you can go to just get kind of a this person scored at this time or winning is good and losing is bad sort of stuff. I try to have a little bit more fun with it because that's just kind of my approach to most things in life is that it's a little bit more fun to be a little bit more silly. So, maybe, you know, you might love that or hate that, especially if it's a tough game or the Stars have lost 7 in a row. You might not be as much in a joking mood, and I can understand that. But, hey, some gallows humor can be good, too. So,
well, hope you'll join despite you becoming large, you, Sean Shapiro, David Castillo deserve a lot of credit for continuing to come on this podcast. And I truly appreciate your support. Luds, he doesn't come on anymore, but we still love Luds. He's doing great. I'm so like happy and proud for Luds, man. He's kicking ass over at DLLS. I just give him a lot of credit the way he's breaking down the game. So I miss Luds, but I'm super happy that he's getting the reps that he is, because he deserves it. All right, my friend, we will talk to you soon, and we will be viewing and subscribing to your stuff. Thank you so much for the preview and the recap from last night.
Thanks, Gavin. You bet. Always enjoy coming on.
And that's another edition of Spits and Suds in the Books. We'll have another episode for you soon. Until then, playoffs around the corner. So until then, have a great day, everyone.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.